Please be seated. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never be hungry." Tom reminded me that I told this story before, and I didn't remember that, so I figured if I didn't remember, you might not either. But it was to be my first Sunday at my first parish after graduating from seminary, my first week after ordination, my first sermon, my first baptism. Everything was going to be a first, and I wanted it to be perfect. I didn't want my first parish on my first Sunday to think that they'd hired some neophyte with absolutely no idea what he was doing, even though that's exactly what they had done. I was a neophyte. I was, and whether I wanted to admit it or not, I really didn't have much idea what I was doing. But you see, we clergy types have a hard time admitting that, and that's never more true than when we graduate from seminary. We've been around. We've done God school. We know stuff. We possess an overabundance of idealism, energy, and oftentimes arrogance. And with newly signed diplomas on our walls and ordination certificates freshly imprinted with the bishop's seal, it's our job to bring all this self-importance to you, the parish. On that first Sunday, as I said, there was a baptism. And I coordinated how all of it would take place. I asked the altar guild to put just the right amount of water in the basin, reviewed how the acolytes functioned, and I changed a few things so we'd be doing everything the right way. And I frankly had every moment of that first service planned and choreographed to the point that I could have written a book on liturgy. But I was still nervous. And I was especially nervous about communion itself, because that was a big first. And of course, I had practiced the whole thing in the mirror. We had even had practice classes in seminary. But there are a lot of things to consider, a lot of movement. And one of those things is how much bread and wine to use. You see, in our church, we either consume or return to the ground or reserve the consecrated bread and wine that's not used in the service. So it's important to estimate how much you're going to need just so there's not too much excess. This being my first service, I wasn't really sure how to do that because I wasn't really sure how many people to expect on that first Sunday. And I remembered a little tip that my field ed mentor had used. He was never very good at estimating how much bread and wine to prepare. And he always either ran out or had way, way too much, that there was no way that anyone could consume it all and then legally drive home. So he devised a system. He collected those little plastic containers that held rolls of film, back when we used film. And exactly 50 communion wafers fit in one of those containers. It was brilliant. That way, once you get the attendance numbers from the ushers, you know exactly how many little plastic containers you would need. It's pretty clever, huh? So I knew that's what I would do as well. And on that Saturday morning before my first service at my first church, I went to meet with the altar guild and let them know how I wanted things done. They would be undoubtedly grateful and impressed with me over this new way of doing things, which would serve to make my first Sunday at my first parish and my first communion perfect. For them, of course. So I shared this wise revelation with the altar guild. I explained how I wasn't sure how many wafers I would need the next day and gave them this valuable insight about film canisters holding 50 wafers. The ladies of the altar guild didn't say a word, and wanting to please the new priest, I presume, they just did as I asked. And you know what that first Sunday at my first parish with my first communion and my first baptism was like? It was perfect. Of course, for the parish, not for me. And after I finished greeting everyone as they left, I walked back toward the sacristy and I noticed a bunch of small kids crowded around the door. I wasn't sure why, and I went to investigate. Now, for those of you who don't know, and of course I'm not talking about here, but the Altar Guild can be a pretty tough crowd. They can actually sometimes be mean. They wield a lot of power in the parish hierarchy. And in fact, at that first parish, the person who really ran the church was the head of the Altar Guild. And the fact that she had been dead for 10 years was entirely beside the point. But as I walked into the sacristy, I could tell that the current head of the Altar Guild was none too pleased with me. And that perfect day went downhill from there. You see, on that Saturday before my first Sunday at my first parish and my first communion, I thought I'd given the altar ladies working there a tool that would help make their ministry and mine a little bit easier. And they simply did as I asked. What they didn't tell me, though, was that for a number of years, the parish had used real bread, not wafers, for communion. And not only that, but the real bread was lovingly baked by a little old lady every Saturday morning and delivered to the church that afternoon by her husband. The lady was ill, and she wasn't able to attend worship, and making that bread was her ministry and her means of remaining connected to the larger community. The head of the Altar Guild went on to inform me that on Saturday, when the husband had delivered the freshly baked bread, he was told that the new rector, me, had decided that we'd be using wafers from now on. The gentleman took his bread and returned home. The head of the Altar Guild got a call from the little old lady later that afternoon. Her heart was broken, at which point my heart broke. And to make matters worse, the children gathered around the sacristy because it was the tradition that the kids of the church consumed the bread not used in communion each Sunday. I didn't know any of this. No one had told me. I was too busy preparing for the perfect day to have understood the incredible layers of symbolism and sacredness held in that small loaf of bread. And although my slight was unintentional, a heart was broken because of it. I guess by now you might have guessed why I remembered that little story when reading today's gospel lectionary text. In the gospel, we hear that bread matters. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger." And those hordes of people who were following Jesus were hungry. They just weren't quite sure what they were hungry for. But they believed that this man Jesus could make them full. But if I'm honest with you, the truth is the gospel lesson has very little to do with why I shared that story. I was reminded of it because of what Paul or whoever wrote the letter to the Ephesians had to say. The letter to the Ephesians is very much a love letter. It's a love letter to a church who seems to be doing things right, and the author wants to encourage them. And so his message is about unity and it's about ministry. He wants them to know that each of them comes to the table with gifts. That not everyone has to be a superstar. That some are apostles, some are prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. And I believe some are just good bread makers. But regardless of the roles we find ourselves in, the author wants us to realize that each role brings with it some part of the whole, and that together, unity in the church might be known. A unity that is the very foundation of any feeble attempt to proclaim the gospel. And whether we realize it or not, some of the smallest, seemingly most insignificant roles are often those that make the greatest difference. But we're just not good at acknowledging that or admitting that, are we? We consider unity a mutual position on the issues of the day. We consider unity like-mindedness, uniformity, conformity, being on the same page. But the author of Ephesians says that ain't so. The author speaks of our calling to be commitment to humility and gentleness and patience and bearing one another in love. A unity that is reflected in an acceptance that discipleship is not about how many committees you're on or how hard you work or how busy you stay. But the unity of the church is based on the acceptance that all of our ministries, big and small, matter and are part of the whole. And through those ministries, we find our seat at the table. We are nourished by the bread of life that fills us and makes us whole. The hordes following Jesus were hungry. They saw discipleship as the following of Christ in order to see what they might receive. But the author of Ephesians tells us that true nourishment necessitates our giving of ourselves and our gifts, no matter what they might be, because those gifts are necessary and vital to the building of the body of Christ. Imagine if we lived like that. Imagine if our lives in Christ really reflected that understanding. Imagine if our sole purpose as a church was to worship God and to help each other find ministries, our way of connecting with the Creator and the created. Imagine if we really viewed unity as a freedom to acknowledge our differences and our diversity. And imagine if we viewed our differences and diversity, if on rally day in a couple of weeks, every single one of us checked out all the ministry tables and committed to finding our own ministry. Just imagine. And that is what the body of Christ is called to do. It is what the body of Christ is called to be. On that first Sunday at my first parish for my first communion and my first baptism, I learned a lot of valuable lessons. I learned how important it is to pay attention. I learned how important it is to ask questions. I learned that our ministries matter no matter how visible or hidden they might be. I learned that even simple things can have great meaning. And I learned that bread really does matter. And in some form or another, we are all seeking that nourishment that makes us full and that lasts, that bread that is the staff of life, the root of all sustenance, our manna in the wilderness, the gifts of God for the people of God, yet ultimately nothing more than a big old collection of crumbs, beautiful, holy, sacred, precious crumbs. And over time, I also learned that that little old lady's bread was some of the finest bread that I'd ever eaten. Almost everyone said you couldn't get enough of it, which maybe is the point. And that's a whole lot of lessons for one day. So maybe it was the perfect day after all. God love you. Amen.